Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final edition of Pittsburgh Pop, not just for 2023, but for good. Rob Owen, Tim Benz with you. Don't like to say it, but this is our last posting for the Pittsburgh Pop podcast, a reallocation of resources, as is the case oftentimes in the media world. So we are coming to you one more time for Pittsburgh Pop. Rob, I think I can speak for you in saying we've enjoyed doing this for all of our listeners and readers over the years.
Oh, absolutely. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, especially because, Tim, I am not a sports guy at all, full stop. Like, I'm watched the Super Bowl once a year for the commercials guy, and I've just enjoyed getting to know a little bit more about the sports world through you, and it's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. It's been, I think we're both pretty different people, and I think that that's hopefully led people to find some enjoyment in the show and our takes on things.
Well, maybe we can do one comeback edition after the Super Bowl to recap the commercials or something like that. or
we'll
after the
see
Oscars,
what they allow.
After the Oscars, so I can complain about what has and what did not win. So
right.
We can do that as well. That's always a favorite episode of ours. But at any rate, again, thanks to all those that listened over the years. We do have one more episode here to get to, and there is a lot to get to, Rob, including something special that's going on at Channel 4 on Saturday night.
Yeah, so Channel 4 is airing what they're calling a holiday flashback. It's a new local special that's going to basically dip into the WTAE archives and pull out some holiday-themed stories from years past. I think the one that a lot of people will probably most look forward to is Myron Cope singing a Steelers-themed Christmas carol from 1978. That sounds like the highlight to me. There's also some stories from 1988 about community members helping a family in need, and another one from Santa's helpers reading letters to Santa from 1992. Channel 4 didn't make a screener available. I wish they would have, because I would love to have seen it and had a better sense of it. But the show airs at 7 p.m. December 30th, Saturday, and then it repeats again at 5 p.m. on Sunday, December 31st.
Along those lines, I don't know if you saw it, Rob. I can send it to you if you want, if you hadn't seen it. Somebody unearthed this footage of Sally Wiggin from Christmas Day doing a newscast, 1983, a particularly cold and brutally snowy Christmas Day in Pittsburgh. And this clip of Sally from 1983 with the old-timey graphics and Sally's 1983 perm, it was spectacular. I even sent it to Sally on Christmas Eve to say, were you aware of this as it was circulating around the internet? And I don't know if she was or what she wasn't, but she laughed at it. And it's only about a minute and a half long, but it is pretty funny. It's so anachronistic. It's fantastic.
It's on YouTube.
I don't know. It's on Twitter, actually.
Well, either way,
Pittsburgh News, Pittsburgh History Twitter site got a hold of it, and it made the rounds on X right before Christmas. It was very funny.
All right, well, send it to me, and if we can figure it out, we'll embed it in the text write-up of the podcast. That would be great. People would enjoy that.
Well, speaking of old-fashioned, old-timey Pittsburgh nostalgia, what's going on with Mr. McFeely? Another honor for David Newell?
Well, this is the same one that we announced, that was announced back in November, but the big gala actually happened on December 17th. I was not able to watch the live stream because I was on a cruise ship in the middle of the Caribbean somewhere. But he was indeed inducted into the Gold Circle of the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. They sent me a little clip of it. They did not have him do a speech or anything like that, but he did get his recognition on that that webcast of the award show. So it was nice to see that. And we've got a nice photo of him from the awards show that will run with the story on this for sure.
Understand we've got premiere date for American Rust as well. Is that right?
A premiere month. Although
okay.
It's not written in stone. This is interesting. The producers of American Rust sent an email out to the crew recently. What was more interesting than the month, it's supposedly coming in March 2024, but was the platform, because American Rust was ordered by Amazon Freevee. But in this letter, they said that it was going to premiere on Amazon Prime Video, which is a different platform from Amazon Freevee. Amazon Freevee is a fast channel, whereas Amazon Prime Video is something you get when you subscribe to Amazon.
That's where the football games are, right?
Yes, exactly so. Now, I suspect the reason that they are doing this is because in the new year, Amazon Prime is going to add commercials. And unlike some of the others, where you had to opt for the lower price commercial version, Amazon Prime is just giving everybody commercials. And if you want to not have commercials, then you have to pay more per month for the ad-free version. The reason they're doing this is that what they have found over time is that streaming services that have advertising bring in a lot more money for media companies than the ad-free streaming services do. So it makes sense that American Rust, which was filmed in Pittsburgh, would go to Prime Video. It also follows Bosch Legacy, which had its first two seasons on Amazon Freevee, but they announced recently that for its third season, it will move to Amazon Prime Video. So, although I was kind of surprised at first about American Rust just because of who ordered it, after seeing what happened with Bosch Legacy, it makes more sense to me that they want to capitalize on that. I suspect that the plan might be to just invest more in Amazon Prime and maybe less in Amazon Freevee, at least when it comes to scripted originals. So the second season of American Rust has a subtitle. It is Broken Justice. And in their letter to the crew, the producers said that a third season of the show is still to be determined. So I know we had reported that it was expected to film in Pittsburgh in 2024. And I think that could still happen, but if they are waiting to see how season two performs on Prime Video, and if it's not premiering till March, then I think it's probably likely that it would be later in the year before American Rust came back to film another season.
Are we expecting more streaming services to go in this direction?
Well, I mean, Amazon is one of the last ones to go in this direction
Okay.
because they all started as ad-free and then they've all added ads. I mean, Netflix for years was like, we're never going to have ads. And now Netflix has ads. Disney added ads. Paramount added ads. Max has ads, ad versions. The only one who doesn't at this point that I can think of the majors is Apple. Apple doesn't have an ad version, although on some sporting events, as you know, they do have ads. So I think ultimately, you know, somebody has to pay for this stuff and they can only hike the prices so much. So I think ads are sort of inevitable. Ads is what paid for television for years. I think it will continue to pay for streaming as we go forward.
Tell us about Boys in the Boat.
Ah, yes. So this is the new George Clooney movie in theaters, although I think it will be on Amazon eventually. It is about the 1936 American Olympic rowing team that competed at the Berlin Olympics. And the movie Boys in the Boat is in theaters now. It is based on a book. And prior to this scripted dramatic version, PBS's American Experience did a documentary in 2016 called The Boys of 36, which was also based on the book that inspired the Boys in the Boat, George Clooney directed movie. So if you've seen the Clooney movie and you want more information on sort of the real story, I think it would be worthwhile to check out that American Experience documentary, which is available now for free streaming at pbs.org and on PBS's YouTube channel.
I saw Maestro last
Oh,
week.
you did. What did you think? I've seen some people who did not care for it, and then other people who loved it.
I thought it was really well directed. I thought it was really well shot. I thought it was really well acted. And strangely, I just didn't care about anybody involved.
You know, I was really bored by Boys in the Boat. I saw it. I got a screener of it and was like, oh, I'm kind of curious. I'll watch this. I was just kind of bored by it, but you
Yeah, I
know.
think bored is part of it for me. I mean, I thought the direction and the cinematography aspect of it kept it interesting enough that I kept watching, but I was just weirdly disconnected from the characters involved. And that's odd when you consider the acting that went into it. And I thought both Gary Mulligan and Bradley Cooper were both very good in it. You know, like I thought the acting was really good.
One of the complaints that I read about Maestro, and I'll admit I haven't seen it, but was that it didn't really delve into enough about Bernstein's artistry and that it didn't necessarily get into what made him such a great musical artist. I don't know if you felt that way, but I had read that complaint from others.
It was sort of talked about, and it was. There's one long direction scene where it's literally just a song that's played with him conducting.
Sure.
But yeah, they kind of just referenced West Side Story, you know, like it was just a passing reference. And there's a scene where he sits down with his wife and he's doing an interview on TV, and that's the main point of the interview is how do you do all these things and keep them all straight? And he gives one or two answers, but that's the quickest allusion to, I think, what you're talking about. And
Yeah.
in the beginning of the movie, it goes from is he a conductor to is he a songwriter? Is he writing works for the stage? And all that kind of coalesces. But I get where some people who are fans of his might have wanted to see more of that researched or more of that played out,
Right.
but it's sort of done through the artsy bridges in the movie.
Yeah.
That part didn't really bother me one way or the other. It was just odd how I felt like I really didn't care.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it felt like a lot of rich people at fancy parties a lot. It was a lot of, you know, jumping from fancy party to fancy party and this aspect of their fancy lifestyle, and I didn't really want to feel all that
Yeah.
connected to him. It did nothing for me as far as a human connection.
Did you see any other movies over the holidays thus far?
I didn't even get around because the football schedule was what it was over
Right.
Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I didn't even get around to rewatching Bad Santa and Reindeer Games, which are my two go-to replay for the holiday movies.
Let's see. We did Muppet Christmas Carol, but I somehow did not get around to A Christmas Story this year. So, and I haven't, I sort of want to see Wonka, just to see what they do with that. Because the guy who did the Paddington movies is the director, and those were actually really quite good. But yeah, I have not made it to the movies yet either, but hopefully we will at some point.
On that topic, there were some holiday renewals, right?
Yes, so we had a whole bunch of things going on. And there was also a little bit of weirdness, but let me do the renewals and cancellations first, and then I'll get to the weirdness. So over the holidays, Amazon Prime Video renewed Good Omens for a third and final season. Apple TV Plus renewed Platonic and the Buccaneers for second seasons for each of those. Stars renewed Power Book 4 for a third. Power Book 4 colon Force, I didn't get the whole title, make it correct, for a third season, but canceled Shining Vale, the Courteney Cox sort of horror comedy, after two seasons. I was very heartened that HBO gave me a Christmas present by renewing The Gilded Age for a third season because I love that show. Such good Broadway stars in that, Christine Baranski and Nathan Lane and all kinds of amazing people. Netflix renewed My Life with the Walter Boys for a second season. That's kind of like a teen series. MGM Plus renewed Beacon 22, 23 for a second season, which is not surprising because AMC originally ordered two seasons of that show and made them and then sold it for scrap. So it seemed like a foregone conclusion that that would get renewed for a second season, but probably not beyond that. Max canceled Warrior after three seasons. I think they had canceled it once already and then uncanceled it, and now it's canceled again. And FX announced that the vampire comedy, What We Do in the Shadows, will end after its upcoming sixth season, which I think is probably appropriate. I will admit I have not watched the fourth or fifth season yet, so I sort of felt like it was diminishing returns, so probably better to go out sooner than later. And then I was just going to point out a couple of really weird things that are happening. So the CW, we've talked about before, I think, how that channel, that network was sold. It was previously owned by CBS and Warner Brothers. They sold it. It was bought by Nexstar, which owns News Nation, which used to be WGN America. They're trying to reconceive the CW to have programming at a lower price point. And they are really going for that lower price point because they're going to start airing reruns. And I don't remember this ever happening before. Reruns of the ongoing ABC sitcom The Conners at 8:30 and 9 p.m. Thursdays beginning January 4th. So new episodes of The Conners will be on ABC. Reruns will be on the CW in prime time. In addition to that, the CW is also going to pick up the first season of the canceled Hallmark Channel Western Ride, starring Nancy Travis at 8 o'clock Monday, starting January 22nd. So I can't imagine they're going to make new episodes of Ride necessarily, but they are going to rerun the old episodes. And again, this is all because they got these shows at what I'm sure was a screaming cheap bargain.
Well, let's wrap up with two favorites here, Rob. First of all, for you, Star Trek, they got some special editions of the Sci-Fi channel, and the fastest canceled show in TV history is now on YouTube.
Yeah, so Star Trek, this is actually an old thing that I just simply had memory hold or forgotten or never knew about. When Star Trek, the original Star Trek, the 60s Star Trek, first showed up on Sci-Fi Channel, back when it was SCI hyphen FI, not the current SYFY channel, the episodes were too long for what was then, and I'm guessing this is in the 90s, what was then an hour of television. So they didn't want to cut the Star Trek episodes. So they brought in William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy to film these wraparounds with trivia. And so a Star Trek episode that would have been a 1 hour broadcast in the 60s aired for 90 minutes on the Sci-Fi Channel to keep it on a regular network clock. And so it's got all this bloated bonus feature stuff with Shatner and Nimoy sort of talking about the show at the start of it and at the end of it. And I'm not sure if it's in between. But anyways, I saw somebody pointed out that these special edition Star Trek episodes are now available on YouTube. So I thought that was an interesting and weird thing for fans of Star Trek and like mid cable programming. Then the other weird one that you mentioned was the fastest canceled TV show in TV history. This was a George Schlatter series that aired on the East Coast, and before it was to air on the West Coast, 3 hours later, people had gotten wind of it and it got canceled and it didn't air in some places. So it's this very weird, it's like a sketch show, but the sketches are like this long. It's like, I think it was from the 60s. It's a little bit MTV, like an MTV sketch show a decade and a half before MTV did it. And Schlatter recently released the episodes on YouTube. And some of them may not have ever aired anywhere before, given how quickly it was canceled, because I think they film more than just the first one. So anyway, it's again, for people interested in bizarro TV history, which I am somewhat, we'll link to it in the story that goes along with the
We lasted way longer than that.
podcast. Yes, we did, darn it. Yes, we did.
Yeah, so thanks to everybody who listened and downloaded Pittsburgh Pop over the years. We thank you for that. Thank you for reading along with Rob when he has posted it. And who knows, maybe we're back in some form or another in the future. It's weird how these things always change and morph shapes as the years go by. But Rob, this is fun. Glad we could do it while we did.
And thank you, Tim. You are an awesome host, and I appreciate all your effort.
So you can go back and get past episodes if you like. They'll come up online. We're going to keep all the old links active for as long as the podcast channel is active at Trib Live, so you can get whatever you wanted in the past. And you can still read Rob at the Trib. You can still read me at the Trib and listen to my podcast on the sports side. None of that is changing. So thanks again for listening, and we'll be with you in the future here at Trib Live.